Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. Today, we are joined by Diego Sancho, a Venezuelan football scout based here in Venezuela, in Caracas. And today we're going to be talking about Venezuela and the Under-17 World Cup, which kicks off this month in Indonesia. Venezuela beginning with a game against New Zealand this Sunday the 12th of November. And like I said, to discuss it all with me is Diego Sancho. Diego Sancho, a qualified journalist who studied at UCAB, Universidad Católica Andrés Bello here in Caracas. He went on to be an analyst for Caracas Football Club, considered one of the best clubs in Venezuela, and is now a scout for the agency GoPro, who, amongst others, has Peñaranda, for example, Carlos Olces, and Atletico Mineiro's current loan kid from Monagas. Diego, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
Hi, John. Very pleased to talk about football with you.
And I'm very grateful that not only you're here, but you speak perfectly fluent English. Me and Diego, and it feels weird for me to say Diego because I'm so used to calling you Sancho. We've known each other for, well, the whole 2 years I've been here, play football together every Thursday night. But Diego genuinely is, in my opinion, one of the most knowledgeable voices on youth football in Venezuela. So it's great for us to be able to have you here, Diego.
I'm very pleased with your words, Jordan. And also pleased to with playing football with you.
Yes, Thursday night is good. We're entering the season where pros start coming to play with us again. Johnny Gonzalez is going to be there tomorrow. Usebe's yes. Stalwart right back, he's back. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a few others. Unfortunately, La Guaira are back to training next week. So we'll probably miss out on Elias, for example. But we should get a few in the next couple of months. It will be good. Anyway, let's get into the topic of Venezuela and their upcoming Under-17 World Cup campaign. Historically, it's not a tournament that Venezuela has had the honour of participating in much before. This is just going to be the second time they've participated. The first time was 10 years ago in 2013. We finished without a point. We got 3 losses, scored twice, conceded 9. Hopefully, things will go better this time. Diego, from the South American Championships early this year, what can the average football fan that doesn't know anything about Venezuela and this generation, what can they expect?
From the Under-17 national, I think that you must see David Martinez. David Martinez is basically a talent that gathers everything that made Arango great, Juan Arango great. And I think it's a very good illusion, inspiration for the Venezuelan football to have some wonder kid like that. Every country in South America has its own wonder kid now. Kendry Páez from Ecuador, Enrique in Brazil, and Venezuela's one is called David Martinez, a number 10.
And we've seen Ecuador call up Kendry Páez to the senior team. We've seen this week Enrique getting his first call up to the Brazilian senior team. And I know you've tweeted about the topic of David Martinez and the senior national team. Where does your thinking lie on that topic? David Martinez, to repeat to the audience, still only 17, not 18 until early next year. Hasn't played much first team football this year because he's been with the youth team, under-17s and under-20s a lot. But this is his second full season of professional football. He played and scored in the Copa Libertadores this year. And by all accounts, he's off to Europe as soon as he turns 18. In terms of the senior national team, what are your thoughts on how this situation's played out? He hasn't been called up.
He hasn't been called up. He has been called up for the under-17 squad. I really thought that he could make his debut before this World Cup, this under-18 World Cup, to give him more power to say, you are a national team player playing in their under-18. We are giving you more power. We're giving you more a professional experience now in football and that experience to take it into the World Cup. I think that the perfect moment was these two last games against Chile. Especially against Chile, we were winning 3-0. In the home side, in the home, in the city where David Martinez play, in
And
Monagas,
against 10 men.
and against 10 men, it was the perfect chance, and it didn't happen because they didn't call it. I understand the Professor Valinho, the under 17 coach, is trying to keep it, to start a process with him to give him by stages. But I see the other countries in the region are jumping the stages of the formation of the players. And I think that we need to be a bit more keen to let the youngsters play. We have very good youngster generation, and we should use it. We should use it.
And before we get more into the rest of the generation that we're going to see this month in Indonesia, let's stay on topic with David Martinez. What can you tell us about him as a player? Obviously, you've mentioned similarities to Juan Arango, but maybe not every listener is familiar with Arango. What would you say stylistically? You know, you're an analyst, you're a scout. Tactically, stylistically, what can we expect from David Martinez?
David Martinez is a number 10. He's a lefty. He's very noticeable his way to associate in short, in long. Every time he gets on the ball, he gives you his technical gesture that says this player is going to be a good one. He's one-on-one. It's not the best, but he can trick you, and he can make you think he's going to do something with the ball and finish doing something else. His final pass is just fatal to the rivals. I think we have a player that is very, very important. We don't have a player like that in the national squad. If you look at the offensive midfielders, we don't have a player with those characteristics. And that's why I think we should have called it to the national team before.
And after the under 17 World Cup, would you feel comfortable promoting him straight into the senior national team and maybe placing him in between Soteldo and Savarino, for example?
Sure. For me, it will be a bit late, but surely, surely.
And then, of
This is the
course,
time.
in 2024, we have the Copa America. And you believe that he's a real prospect to be in that team?
I think he should be there. He should be there.
Perfect. Okay, so moving on from David Martinez, there's around six or seven players in Venezuela's under 17 World Cup squad that played for their senior teams at club level this season in Liga Footvee. David Martinez aside, the most prominent one in terms of minutes was Junior Colina, a striker at Rayo Zuliano, who again impressed at the under 17 South American Championship earlier this year. And then the other four or five with a lot fewer minutes than that duo, but still, it will probably be a surprise to a lot of listeners that there's as many as six or seven first team players in an under 17 squad for the World Cup. Obviously, Venezuela for many years benefited from the Regla de la Norma, the juvenile rule, which stipulated that every team must have a teenager on the pitch at all times. Sometimes that rule was under 19, sometimes under 20, depending on what the upcoming tournament was. But that rule was scrapped 2 years ago. So it is testament to the individual quality of some of these players that they are already first team players at club level. We've also got a few players that are playing overseas. We've got Juan Arango Jr., the son of Juan Arango, who's playing in Spain. We've got Alejandro Sicharo, who's recently signed in Italy, for example. And we have Yandro Rapp playing in Holland. Sancho, do you believe that we are strengthened by the Venezuelan youth players that are playing overseas?
Yes. And I think that that's the biggest addendum from the South American tournament. From now the World Cup, we managed to sign very qualified players, such as you said, Yandro Rapp, the likes of Nicolas Profeta, who was also eligible for Italy and Colombia, and he finally comes to play in Venezuela. I must say, When I knew that Nicolás Profeta was Venezuelan, I really said, but he's also Italian and Colombian. Why will he be in the national squad? And he did. And I think it's, as you said, has strengthened the national squad. Juan Arango was already in. Alejandro Sichero wasn't, well, was in Uruguay, but is now in the Frosinone. So I think that things got really, really improved for Venezuela in this tournament and in this length of time.
And on the topic of Profeta, for people that perhaps their only access to Venezuelan football is Footvey English for reasons of language, or perhaps following Footvey Twitter isn't their main priority. There was a bit of drama around Profeta playing for the under 17 national team. A bit of drama came from the fans themselves, their expectations, their attitudes, fan culture, but also a little bit came from Profeta's side as well, with maybe some naive comments in a press conference a little while ago, as you touched upon, eligible for Colombia. And if I remember rightly, and do correct me if I'm wrong, he played for Colombia in the under 17 South American Championship at the beginning of the year, and described playing for Venezuela at the under 17 World Cup as like an individual opportunity for him. Since then, he's been interviewed again, came across a lot more professionally, sort of tied his allegiance to the Venezuelan flag, if you like. Have I summarized that more or less correctly for the listener, Sancho?
Yes, I think Venezuela has changed a bit his approach on those eligible players from abroad. I think, for example, like Alejandro Gomez, they gave him the chance. Then Alejandro Gomez is also an English and Portuguese passport player, and obviously, when you see those three passports, you say, "Why would he come to Venezuela?" But in that mentality. This Valinho coach, he said, "Why not? Why not calling him? Why not he work with us?" And suddenly he likes, and he say, "Why not staying in Venezuela?" He plays actually in Deportivo Cali in Colombia, but he managed to come to. He played for Colombia. He gave the Colombia chance, and now he gave us a chance. And it's the World Cup that it matters. So I think that we have a great opportunity to make Nicolas Profeta stay in Venezuela.
And with Alejandro Gomez, so he plays for Southampton, for listeners from England or interested in English football. I was about to say Premier League football, but sadly, Southampton, my team, are no longer in the Premier League. But Gomez, he was born and raised in Venezuela. He only left, if I'm not mistaken, he only left Venezuela in 2019, around the age of 10. And he was playing youth football for a team that I used to play against many times as a kid, scoring three or four goals a game, gets picked up by Southampton's academy. Scoring two or three goals a game for them, has already debuted in the Premier League under 18s when he's only 14, 15 years old. And like you say, he's also played for Portugal's youth teams and England's youth teams, actually, since being with Venezuela in their last or their penultimate module in preparation for this. He went from being in the pre-selection module with Venezuela to being cut for the final team, returning to England, and now has been called up and has scored for England. And as Carlos Tarache brought our attention to at Solovenex, England are valuing him. In their most recent victory, or their penultimate victory, Gomez scored the winner to or the second goal towards the very end of the game. And in the post-match graphic, they celebrated the three lions, and Alejandro Gomez was included as one of those lions. There's a bit of conversation about this, like if he's good enough to be playing and scoring for England's equivalent youth category. Is he not good enough to play for Venezuela at this World Cup?
No, and I think he's is he is he 15. I think he's 15 years old. I mean, he should play in another range of age, and he still competes. He's way ahead of all the footballers of this generation, and I think he's a wonder kid. No wonder they try to keep him in England, and well, I think you have seen him more than me in Southampton, of course. And
Well,
I think, yes.
moving on from individuals, from a team aspect, what can we expect from Valenio and how Venezuela are going to play at this tournament? We're in a group with New Zealand, with Mexico, and with Germany. What can the opposition expect from us? What can viewers, fans expect to see from Venezuela stylistically, formationally, tactically?
I think Venezuela will compete. I really like the way they competed in the South American. As you said, there are going to be some changes. Jeandro Rapp's addition is going to change the center backs. Before the Jeandro's appearance, it was a couple of center backs from the same team, Academia Puerto Cabello. But I think it's going to be Ray Hidalgo, the center back from Academia Puerto Cabello, who's going to stay, and Jeandro is going to play as the other center back. I think it's going to be 4-2-3-1, maybe, as a shape, with David Martinez inside, a couple of wingers. It could be Junior Colina, Michael Gonzalez, and a man forward. I think it's going to be Alejandro Sichero. I don't know if Alejandro Gomez was in Venezuela. I don't think Alejandro Sichero is going to be there, but he's going to be there as a start. I think it's going to be very important that we manage to get to the box, to the rivals' box, with those wingers. I think wingers is going to be the most thrilling way to attack. Venezuela has very pacey players like Lehan Romero, like Mike and Gonzalez, players that David Martinez will really enjoy to pass it long, to find them open. And I think Venezuela is going to be a very, very good side to see when they are winning, when they have spaces to make some counterattacks and to approach this space. I think that Paraguay goal where I think it's David Martinez's goal against Paraguay in the South American when they make this counterattack. There is just a caveat. It really looks like a professional team playing, actually. Do you remember this goal?
Yes, of course. I remember watching the under-17 South American Championship very eagerly because I know that, you know, very few English-speaking journalists or outlets pay much attention to this. So I felt you know, a considerable responsibility in this tournament. And the fact that, you know, it was before Liga Footbay began, it was right at the beginning of the year, it had been 2 months since we'd had, you know, any Venezuelan football. I followed it with keen interest.
No, this team is going to, I think, I have high hopes on this team. I really think they are going to make a good World Cup. And we need that because we have 10 years, as you said, without an under 17, and that time 10 years ago wasn't that good, and I think we need that, and I think also the La Vinotinto needs that, to know that there are some teenagers that are really, really improving and going to make better football for us.
Yeah, and because in 3 years' time, if we, you know, qualify for the World Cup, a lot of these kids are going to be 19, 20 years old and possible reinforcements or, you know, perhaps in the case of David Martinez, you know, names on the team sheet. So we've spoken about some standout players. We've spoken about the Venezuelan players based overseas. We've spoken about how the national team will probably set up and where their successes can come from. Let's talk about the domestic side of this. So the players playing in Venezuela that perhaps haven't had much first team exposure in Liga Footbay, but names that you as a scout and a lover of Venezuelan youth football are going to be very familiar with. Who are the names that you would advise people to keep an eye on from Venezuela?
Franjo Huise didn't make it to the South American. He didn't qualify to the World Cup. He was in the squad. He was working in some of the models. I think he went to all the models before he had a very bad injury that sadly made him miss these qualifiers, but now he's on. And I think we must recognize the work of his club, UCV, the Universidad Central de Venezuela, because they made him debut professionally right before he was able to play again. And that day he made this assist. I don't know if you saw this assist. It was a pass that dropped just in the box for the scorer with his foot, but the way he passed it, with the outside of the foot, and the ball just fall right just when where the striker was going to shoot, and it was amazing. I think that if he didn't make his debut and prove he's professionally able to compete, he wouldn't be called to the World Cup. And I think that his club made a really good bet on him and won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a midfielder. For those of you that don't know, can you see him going straight into the starting 11?
I think he has the quality to make it, but I'm not sure if Baliño is going to, do you know, to make a move from his original drawings. Maybe he will firstly decide from Sequeira, from Giovanni Sequeira, another number 8. I forgot to mention that. For those who doesn't know, Frangel Ruiz is a player that matches with the characteristics of Telasco Segovia, for example. Maybe a bit more physic, maybe with more muscle to deal with those defenders or with defensive charging. So I think that he's a very volatile player and functional too. So he's going to be very important in the Venezuelan squad.
And you made a good point there amongst everything you were saying about him on an individual level, that perhaps if Useve didn't give him that opportunity in the first team right towards the end of the season, that perhaps maybe he wouldn't be on the plane to Indonesia. Some other clubs couldn't afford to maybe take that gamble because they were still fighting for Libertadores qualification or Sudamericana qualification. But I do know that some people in Liga Foot, they feel like there were players playing in Liga Foot, they under 17s or under 18s that could have debuted first team football this season. And, you know, for the same reason that Frangel has been called up, could be on the plane to Indonesia. Are there any standout names missing from this squad from Liga Futebol, in your opinion?
Well, there are some names, yes. But I think that there is not a very clear name like we've seen, for example, the guy, as Frangel got injured, there was another center back from Deportivo Táchira who made all the models. And he also had a bad injury. But the difference is that Deportivo Táchira didn't make this kid debut, although he has a contract. I think this guy's name is Gabriel Boscan. He's a center back that sadly he made all the process and never played an official match with this team. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's a wonder kid. I really don't think he's that kind of betting. I don't think there is a big name missing, but I still think that the federation, the scouting way they work, sometimes lacks of. For example, they say they won't call up a player to a work to a Vinotinto's model work if they don't have 10 matches in video of him. And I say if you have 8 of a player and in 8 play in 8 games, you see the quality he has. Why would you wait to have another 2 matches? I really don't understand. Sometimes there are good players missing. Of course, in Rayo Zuliano, there is a good example of Gilmar Martinez. I think Gilmar Martinez can do more in the professional fashion than Junior Colina, for example. I don't think Junior Colina is the best talent in the Rayos Academy, but somehow he's there. But just to say short, I don't think there is a very big name missing, apart from Alejandro Gomez. But that is not as that is
a Liga Futebol name.
Yes, yes.
Well, and you brought up another interesting point. I had my next question planned, but I'm gonna skip it and come back to it. You mentioned about how, you know, the selection process, if you like, and, you know, needing 10 games. An interesting sort of tangent that the selection process took just a few weeks before the team was announced was calling up to a module a player with, I think it's fair to say, well, no professional experience and probably limited academy experience. He was called up as a result of Venezuela's inaugural Indigenous Games. There was quite a lot of excitement within Venezuela about the Indigenous Games in the scouting community. And obviously the main reason for this is because Luis Diaz, formerly of Porto, now of Liverpool, was discovered in a similar way in Colombia. So Venezuela had these Indigenous Games, and a player called Yorkis Rojas ended up being called up to the under-17 module prior to the World Cup. He didn't make the cut, but it nevertheless was an interesting story. What can you tell us about, you know, you saw the games of the Indigenous, you saw the Indigenous Games, you said that he was a standout. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, I saw those games. I really loved the initiative, you know? But the tournament was four teams, and he was the best of all four teams. Yorkis Rojas, he scored a poker, four goals, but the matches were three matches in 3 days. So, and the second day, he scored one, and the next day, he scored nothing. The tournament didn't make room for him to really show all his potential, and I think they call him to see him against a better opposition, an under 17, because in an indigenous tournament, what would you expect from a level? You could do it well, but the opposition really didn't make too much harder the things for him. I like him. There are other players that I like in the tournament, but I think he was the best. And I think Venezuela can make a good tradition, you know. Every Indigenous Games, the best player goes to work with the Vinotinto, you know, to promote, to keep it, to send a message to him to say, if you keep working this way, you might get there, you know. And also for his teammates. For example, Yorkis Rojas played in the Zulia selection. All his teammates are going to say, I can also get there. I trained with him. It's possible to get there. And I think it's going to be a very positive message. But in terms of having a wonder kid in the Indigenous Cup, I don't think so. It's very far from that. And actually, he didn't make it to the World Cup. So it was, they proved if the level was fine and they weren't too impressed.
Excellent. No, a good summary. And before I sort of round up the podcast, we're into our last 10 minutes, you know, people like something to hang their coat on before tournaments like this. They like a bit of direction. What's your prediction for the group? Not the whole tournament, just the group. Venezuela, like I said, open against New Zealand, which is probably not the easiest because it's a World Cup, but probably the easiest opening game they could have been drawn with to try and start with 3 points, followed by Mexico, followed by Germany. What are your predictions for Venezuela in that group game? The top two automatically qualify for the knockout round, and then four of the six third place teams will join them.
I think Venezuela will compete. It's a very similar group as the under 20 team in 2017, I guess. Germany, Mexico, and a Polynesian or an Asiatic rival. So yeah, I think Venezuela will go through. I hope to see at least five games of Venezuela in this World Cup. And obviously the Germany game is going to be a very tight game. But I think Mexico, for example, Mexico, how many players from that side have made his debut? It's very hard to say if there are one or two. So obviously that doesn't say at all for them, you know? But I think that against Mexico is going to be, if we win against Indonesia, which is very likely, and win against Mexico, the Germany game will be, you know, who gets the leader of the group. So The Mexico game is going to be the most important, I guess.
Yeah, the second game. And in terms of the times of the games, they're 5 a.m. kickoffs. Will Diego Sancho be waking up at 4:45 to watch these games?
I'm only awake to see football, mate. If football is there, I'm going to be there. I did it in the under 20 World Cup, and I'm going to do it also. I'll sleep later.
Perfect. That's a perfect response. And Sancho is also an Arsenal fan, just to let our listeners know. So regularly up at 7 a.m. to watch weekend games for Arsenal. Arsenal obviously on TV a lot, so get quite a few midday kickoffs. We're into our final 6 minutes of the podcast, and I did want to make use of the fact that we've got probably one of the most leading, most respected voices on youth football in Venezuela. Obviously, youth football in Venezuela does not get much exposure. Even when Liga Footvey was on Instat and Wyscout, it was only the top division, not even the second division. Youth football widely gets overlooked. The first time you're going to get a real look at a player is when they debut in Liga Footvey. With the axing of the rule, that's probably going to, come later and later. Although we did have 16-year-olds debut and score this year. We had 17-year-olds debut and score this year as well. But, you've got 5 minutes. You don't have to talk for the full 5 minutes. I can ask you more questions, but 5 minutes to feel about youth football in Venezuela. Let's start with a summary. What would you say the strengths are of youth football in Venezuela, and what would you say the weaknesses are?
Okay, Venezuelan teams have no academies, at least not when this under 18 rule was approved. So this rule wanted to exactly promote under 18s into professional team. What happened was beautiful because we had too many teams with under 15, with under 16, with under 17 teams, and there are so many juvenile players, and when there are so many matches, when you can see an evolution and a progress, and you can analyze the characteristics of your players, suddenly you have 10 or 20 or 30 players that are ready for professional level. And when that happens, and you have a rule that one of them must be there, you are just making things not natural. This rule, this under 18 rule, doesn't apply in any other countries that I know, in any other leagues. It's something that is, it was a measure that worked in its time, but now with so many kids, good kids that are going to be a good footballers, making his debut at the right time because the manager really said, okay, this guy really deserves it, not because a rule sets it, because he prove in the academy and working with the pro team that he can do it. He's ready. That's the right process. And I think the deployment of the rule came in right time. And this year's movement in the transfer season, the kids that never made his debut as a juvenile rule, they went out of the football and they're making it right in the international level. So I think that the under 18 rule make his job help us out a bit in the academy formation. But I think we are through that. We're in another stage, and this is the post-juvenile rule stage of the football.
Okay. And I don't disagree. I think there were pros and cons to the youth rule. I think you did a good job of summarizing them. One worry that probably still sits with me, and I think you're well placed to comment on this as somebody that works within an agency, is I appreciate what you're saying about players debuting when the time is right for them. But what I worry about is it's going to minimize the window of opportunity for Venezuelan players to get abroad, to get to Europe, because if they're debuting at an older age, and we all know that there's probably a glass ceiling of around 22, maybe 23, where realistically top leagues are going to probably stop signing players from Liga Footvey once they've got to that age. They're going to say if they were that good, why are they not ready out, that kind of thing. Do you share a similar worry?
Yes, I guess Venezuelan football is very behind the formation aspects of the elite. And this is a problem that also have Bolivia and Peru and other countries that aren't so popular in the transfer window. But I guess that if we work as the other teams, we're going to get some results. But if we work only as Venezuela, taking measures that only Venezuela understands, we're not going to make it. We need to do something that really make us go through. Of course, there are some talents that maybe the manager won't call him because he thinks he's not ready, but you know, the guy might be ready. Of course, there are pros and cons. I don't say that the juvenile rule stop talent from going on. But I think this year's example was a good one. I think the good players made his debut and they went. And if they didn't went abroad this year, they were going to be the next year and so on.
Perfect. Well, we are into our last minute, so it's a perfect place to stop. I don't want you to get cut off mid-flow. So we take this opportunity to wrap things up. Diego Sancho, thank you very much for joining us today. I encourage everyone to give Diego a follow on Twitter. Like I said, not many voices, if any, that know youth football in Venezuela as well as he does. Diego, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, man. That was fun.
It was indeed, and I will see you tomorrow.
See you, mate. Thanks.